As I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, for these stretch of weeks right now, we're in what you might call parable mode in the church. Last Sunday and this Sunday, next Sunday, all from a particular piece of Matthew's Gospel where Jesus gives a lot of parables at one time to those who are around him as he teaches. And he does so because he's trying to describe the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is of a nature that you can't put a concise, simple dictionary-type definition on it. Rather, you describe it with stories. That's how Jesus chooses to explain something that is a mysterious and sort of complicated thing. But once the stories are told, it becomes clear. So last Sunday's story would have been the one where the sower goes out to sow and the seed falls on different kinds of soil. That one is really about the fact that even if some soil doesn't do so well in the end, the kingdom is going to bear great fruit with that select group who do bear 30, 60, 100 fold. So it's a confidence builder in God's power. Next Sunday will be the pearl of great price and the treasure in the field, which is really about totality. The kingdom is worth it all, so sell it all to get that pearl. That leaves us with this Sunday, the one in the middle. And at center stage, he does say a couple parables today, but at center stage is the wheat and the weeds in the field. What does that say about the kingdom of God? How does it describe it or explain it to those folks back then hearing it and to us now hearing it today? It's a good story for this time of the year here in Wisconsin, this wheat and weeds imagery. A week ago today, I was up at the monastery in Denmark by Green Bay, where I go once in a while, and the wheat harvest is just about ready to bring in. You can see it in the fields. It's beautiful golden brown. And as I walked along last Sunday evening in a beautiful night along the sister's driveway, along the fields there, you could see very clearly the lovely wheat crop. And then because it had ripened so wonderfully, what stood out very clearly, like little green shoots all through it, were the awful weeds that were all the way through the field. They were really easy to spot. Whereas a couple months ago, walking the same pathway, I couldn't have picked them out. They blended in with the wheat very, very well. And of course, looking at that field, you realize right now there's no getting those weeds out of there without damaging the wheat too. It was only going to get sorted out by the harvester. That's how it was all going to get made right in the end. So those listening to this story way back then in Jesus' time, farmers that they were, would have understood this image very, very well. It was familiar to them. And so I think it struck a chord with them, like this does with us who are gardeners, farmers in our area. We understand what he's trying to say, I think, on one level. So what is he trying to say then? I mean, what is the point exactly? Is life weedy and weedy? Yes, I guess you could say, right? How so? I think it's always good for us to ask the question, as you think about these stories, well, why is it, this is my intellectual exercise anyhow, right? Why is it that these stories, this one in particular, made it into the Gospels and other ones that Jesus told just sort of fell into history and we don't know what they are? Why this one? And the answer is always because something about it must have really struck a chord with those hearing. It really, really sunk deep. So there must have been some issue that they were facing that this spoke to in a very important and powerful way. That's why they held on to it. The issue would have been probably this. In the early Christian church, as the disciples continued to grow and the community spread, they were facing the heart-wrenching problem of people who were falling away. The word was sown, the message was preached, baptisms were done, the Eucharist given out, new Christians were made, and what began to happen is that among the new converts and followers of this new way of Christ, some went back to their old life, some did awful things, some rejected their baptism, some got lukewarm, and the community thought, well, why is that? How is it possible that in this new, beautiful community there can be evil in our midst? What does this mean? And how do we deal with it? Do we punish them? Do we get them out? I mean, what's the process here? Because this doesn't seem to fit. If we're all so full of God's power, why is this happening? And so, I would imagine they thought, well, you know, once upon a time, the Master spoke to this. He told us about the wheat and the weeds, and this is what he was trying to say. That in my kingdom, in my church, in the Christian community that gathers around me and will until the end of time, there's always going to be wheat and weeds growing up together. That's just a fact. Evil's going to be mixed in with the goodness of the community. And as it is, you will try hard to root it out, and indeed, you have to combat sin, Jesus says, elsewhere in the gospel. Fight at it with all of your might, but just know that there is a degree of inevitability to the corruption that is in your midst. Rather than getting upset about it, frustrated, discouraged, or despairing, Jesus says, trust in the wisdom of me as the master gardener. Trust that if the weeds and wheat are growing up together, it's because I allow that to happen. There's a reason for it. The fruitfulness of the whole demands that that happen in that way. So rather than being upset, he would say, have confidence in my power at the end of time and even in the middle to sort out what must be placed in which category. I will do it, Jesus says. Fight and struggle and resist sin and temptation, but in the end, just know, don't have heavy hearts about it. Trust in me and in my plan. I'm letting the weeds and wheat grow up together because I'm a very patient harvester. That's what he's trying to say. So it's consoling. I hope you would agree. So today, just like back then, right, we can look around the church, around the world, looking at parishes or the church worldwide and say, it's true, there really is still a mix, isn't there, in our midst of wheat and weeds, of good things and bad things, those of us who fall away, those of us who don't do so well. I'm one of them, frankly. I'm a weed right here in the middle of all of you. Let's just say it for what it is, right? We can get upset about that, or we can say, you know what? He promised us this would be the case. This is just how it is in the kingdom. And he lets them grow side by side because if he doesn't, the good could be damaged along with it. That's the mystery of the unfolding nature of the church in the world back then and now. So don't be discouraged, he says to us. Evil is there. It's a difficult thing. But I am in charge, God says. I am powerful, and I will root it out as I need to. I'll root it out as I need to. So that's the overall message, right? Now, that's on one layer. You could go down a level, actually, and take this deeper, I think, to the level of the heart. Because if you think about it for a second, his image of the field is not unlike the image of a person's heart and soul and life, right? My heart, your heart, if you're honest with yourselves, really are a mixture of wheat and weeds, isn't it? Because it's true about my actions and behaviors that so often I do things to very mixed motives. Lots of reasons go into the human decision-making process. Lots of things push us forward, and not all good. Some are good, some, well, not so much, right? Give an example, you know. Let's say a person wants to volunteer to work at the food pantry here in town. That's a nice thing to do. That's an altruistic, generous, outgoing, service-oriented thing to do. But there might be other reasons for a person wanting to volunteer. Maybe they just want to feel needed. Maybe they want attention. Maybe they're trying to get away from their husband or wife at home. I have no idea, right? I mean, so those are not good reasons. They are self-seeking reasons, but they are still reasons. So that's what I mean about the wheat and the weeds of the heart. What about people who get married, make big life decisions, or become a priest, like in my case, right? Maybe we enter into marriage for very other-oriented reasons. Want to raise a family, want to take care of a spouse, want to be generous and bring life into the world and, you know, be service-oriented, right? Those are good reasons. But maybe there's some self-serving ones, too. I don't want to be lonely. I need someone to drive me to the hospital when I get sick. I want someone to listen to my boring stories when I get home from work. I don't know, right? Or what about, you know, a priest, right? Maybe I got ordained not so that I could take care of a parish and have a family of believers, but because I really just want attention, and you're all here buying into that this morning very, very well. You'll never know the difference. So, what does one do with that, right? God says, look, I know that the human heart is a mysterious place. It's a mixture of all kinds of things, so I could uproot all the bad right away. But if I did that, you might never go to the food pantry, you might never get married, you might never get ordained, you might never have kids, you might never do anything. I let the good and the bad grow together because they push you forward, both in their own particular way. And if you trust me, Jesus says, to sort it all out, I will take care of purifying your motives as you go through life. I'll do it. I promise I will do it. Do you struggle against sin? Of course. Do you resist against evil and try and root out all the weeds? Yeah, we have to do that. The Gospels make it clear. But it's amazing to me how frustrating it is to realize, as hard as I try and pull the weeds out of my heart, there's just more of them. And I can never quite get them all. And rather than despairing about that, or giving up, or going, I just can't do it, here the parable says, hold on, I am the master gardener. I will take care of what you cannot get out of yourself. Leave it to me. And trust that even if you are a mix of different things, and you are, I bless that mixture for what it has to be. I will take care of it. God promises me and you. So it's consoling. It's an encouraging message about the mixture of good and evil we encounter out there and also in our own hearts and lives. Now God says to us, you fight and make the good struggle. It's true. But be assured that in the end, I'm going to be the one who sort it all out and make it as good and pure and holy, the good harvest it needs to be. So that's that. There are two last quick points on the story that are worth noting about the wheat and the weeds. They go like this. The first is, I think there's a danger these days in society at large, and even in the church, unfortunately, to try and deal with wheat and weeds by not pointing out the weeds when we see them. As if to say, well, they're really all the same. As if to say, we shouldn't point out good and bad. What's happening is we're almost blending them together in our conversations these days because we're so afraid of the J word, judging, that we don't point out what has to be pointed out when it is false and out of order with the world. In the gospel story, it's clear there are distinctions between wheat and weeds. As clearly as I could see them at the monastery last Sunday, they stood out very well. So too it is in the church, in society, in a heart. We must point out good and evil, good and bad, right from wrong. We have to separate what is and is not appropriate in the kingdom and in our hearts. That's just a fact. And we do ourselves no favor by glossing it over and saying nothing's really wrong, because when we do that, we empty God of his power and authority to root it out. His glory is diminished, and our salvation is somehow endangered if we don't point out there actually are weeds, and he can take care of them. But to ignore them is to diminish God's power. You don't want that. So we must judge. We must judge the external behaviors and actions we see. Life requires it. The gospel demands it, and that is a fact. On the other hand, as these gospel stories make clear, as the first reading from today also makes clear, we can look at the outside, and we could see behaviors and point out necessarily right and wrong, but only God knows the heart. Only he knows the complex mix that's going on inside of a person's soul. And at that point, the judgment must stop, and we leave it only to him who is the master gardener. Which teaches us to be cautious sometimes in how we deal with the weeds and we see them. Rooting them out might not be the smartest course of action. Perhaps something else is in order. And that's an important corrective that this gospel offers to our sometimes quick tendencies to categorize things that shouldn't always be categorized. So it's a nuanced message I'm making here, right? But the kingdom is just that. It is at times very nuanced in its nature. So at the end, right, placing ourselves back with those first followers of Jesus, this is gospel to them. It's good news. They remember the story because it helped them understand how to deal with the problem they faced, the problem of evil in the world, out there in our hearts. It's a consoling, powerful, good message. God says, I know there's difficulty. I know there's evil, and I can see it along with you. You fight hard against it, but know that I will take care of it, root it out, and make it all grow as it needs to. So we are blessed to be part of the harvest and part of the kingdom. And as we live and reign in his own reign, we should know and trust that he'll bring forth in our hearts the harvest that he intends and he desires when he gives us salvation and always gives him great and powerful glory.